Those are homeless. And I guess what my story was, and when I was preaching at the prison, it was on Psalm 40, and that's my testimony. It was when I was in the horrible pit, that I was in the miry clay, and I was getting sucked under, that God reached down and pulled me up out of the miry clay and set my feet upon the rock of Jesus Christ. And so I said, all that to say this, I'm looking forward to anybody and everybody that wants to come up with Pastor Jay and Pastor Mike and Anna. If you want to come up to the mission, you're all ward welcome. I'll even buy you some cheese when you come up. I'll measure up your cheese later. Devotions are doing good. Still, mailing list is pretty good. And then the videos. Pastor Jay, Pastor Mike have a video on my YouTube from the last time they were up at the mission, and it's going pretty good. Actually, I got to. They got more hits than a lot of the sermons I've ever done, so it's kind of cool there too. So, anyway, I just wanted to let you know what some of the stuff that's going on. But God is definitely working. He's definitely moving. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I wanted to share a message with you today on the mind of Christ. And the reason why I wanted to share that with you is it just seems like everything that I do in ministry and everywhere I go, it's this mindset that I have the mind of Christ, that I'm not doing this by my own strength, I'm not doing it by my own power, but I start to think like Christ, I start to wonder like Christ, I start to appreciate the small things in life like Christ. And when it comes all down to it, it says that we have the mind of Christ. So in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, starting at verse 7, it says, "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him?" And then lastly, the title of our sermon, "But we have the mind of Christ." Heavenly Father, we just come before you in our time right now. We lift you up. We praise you and adore you, Lord God. We give you thanks, Lord God, for what you're going to do in this service today. We thank you for every man, woman, and child that's entered into this place today, Lord God, to hear your word. We pray a blessing upon them. And Holy Spirit of God, we pray that you would flow through the pews of this church, that you would have your way with every person that is here this morning, including me. And Lord God, that you would be magnified, that you would be lifted up, Lord God, that you would just touch hearts in a way that only you can, that you would do the miraculous here this morning, that you would bring healing to those that are in need of healing, that you would touch those that are in need of a touch, and that you just would do what only you can do. And we're going to thank you right now ahead of time for what you're going to do. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. I thank God that before the very foundations of the world, God wanted to put the mind of Christ within us. I think that's an awesome thing to be thinking about, how God wanted that and ordained it for us to be able to have such a thing. before the very creation of this world, God sat down and wanted to have us not only have the Holy Spirit dwell within us, but to have His mind. And as you look around the world with different deities and different people that call gods with a small g, many of them would never have or want you to have their mind within them. But they always want you to be distant from them, and they always want to be lifted up, and they always want to be praised and adored. But they don't want you to have what they have. But you and I, guys, have a God that not only loves us and cares for us and sent His only begotten Son, but He wants to give us His mind. He wants us to think like Him, do the things that He's done, and articulate the things that He did when He was walking on this earth for 33 and a half years. Most of the Gospels are recording the works of Christ as He did in His ministry for 3.5 years. And all of that which He did as fully God, but yet fully man, God used that as a demonstration, as a testimony of what you and I are to become, what you and I are to be able to articulate. You say, well, I haven't healed anybody. I haven't laid any hands on anybody and rose anybody from the dead. But the Bible says quite clearly here, when you and I give our life to the Lord and the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, we have the mind of Christ. And yes, we've seen people healed. And yes, we've laid hands on people and the miraculous have happened. And you look at what Pastor Jay had shared in West Virginia and just one boy being cured of leukemia. And to think, if God is able to do that in West Virginia, why can't He do it here in Madison, Illinois? Why can't He do that up there in Milwaukee? Why can't He do that around this country and around this world? If He is able to do such wondrous things. Now, I'm a person that likes to take apart words. So I just want to take apart one word. And when you look at verse 16, and it says, for who knows the mind of the Lord, that He may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. And that is the very mind that God wants us to have, to be able to think like Him, to articulate like Him, and to be able to know when we come into situations that we don't think like the world. We don't think with our flesh, but we think on another plane. The Bible says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the closer we come to this Christ, and the more intimate that we become in this Christ, the more we are able to articulate heaven here on earth. The more we are able to do what God has called us to do. In verse 7, it says, how be we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. That word glory there in verse 7 means this: that which God intends to do in us to bring His own name to reputation. That which God intends to do in us, you and I, to bring His own name to reputation. So the glory that's talked about in verse 7 is to prepare you and I to be able to extend to this world who Christ is. And to be able to give glory to God and use us for that purpose. And so you and I, as we go out into the culture, as we go out into where God has sending us and wherever He's called us to be, we're putting into practice what God has wanting us to be able to do. And that is to be able to glorify the Lord. Amen. To be able to give glory to the Father and to be able to demonstrate that there is something to this Jesus, and we are bringing the reputation of God into it all. And He wants to use us to bring glory to all the world, wherever we set our feet. And in verse 8, this is kind of a cool verse. It says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord. You know, when Satan and all of his minions, when Christ was put on the cross, They thought, once and for all, we finally got this Jesus gone. He's done with. And we don't have to worry about Christianity. We don't have to worry about Christ anymore. We're done. We can go back to the old system, and he's done. Had they only known that when they had done such a thing, that before the very foundations of the world, God was one up on them, as he always is, and he had the Holy Spirit already set that when Jesus was to descend unto the Father, that there would be 120 that would fit in the upper room and would be praying and seeking God. And from that point of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, all of a sudden, the church was born. And when the church was born, all of a sudden, you didn't have one Jesus that was walking the face of the earth, but you had the same Holy Spirit that walked in Jesus, that lived in Jesus, now living within us. And now we are called to go out and to do the same thing. Jesus gave us this promise. He said, I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. It wasn't just to save you. It wasn't just to give you insurance so you don't spend eternity in hell. But it was that you would be full of the Holy Spirit, that you and I would have the mind of Christ, and that we would go out and make a difference in this culture that he's given us. In order to activate the abundant life, God has already set into motion the promise of the Holy Spirit in John 14 and John 16. When we start to believe who Jesus is, we start to be believers, and that Holy Spirit comes to live within us, all of a sudden we have the mind of Christ. But the mind of Christ within itself is not just knowledge. You could read this whole Bible, and you could read it from cover to cover, and you'll have the mind of Christ, all right, because you got it. But it's not until you encounter Christ that the mind of God starts to manifest itself within you. When you go out into the culture or wherever God has sent you, and you trust him fully for who he is, and you allow him to use you as a vessel, and you go out and you empty yourself, you'll encounter Christ. We had men recently that went to the West Coast, and they went for the 105th revival of Azusa Street. Mm-hmm. And they came back from that, and they're glowing, they're on fire for God. And I said to the church, I says, those people had an encounter with God. They just didn't read the Bible, they encountered God. No. And the more that you encounter God, the more that you manifest the very presence of Christ within you, and you have more of the mind of God. The Apostle Paul, when he was walking on that road to Damascus, he knew the Bible inside and out. He knew the writings. But when he encountered that light coming down from heaven and shining upon him and convicting him that he needed to get right, it was then that he encountered Christ. His whole life changed. And all of a sudden, he no longer has just the theory of what the mind of Christ is, but he's now activated it. Because he's had an encounter with Christ. I have the mind of Christ in what I do, and I'm excited because I go out and I know the difference between the ways of God and the nature of God. And let me explain that to you. When you know what the Bible says, you know the ways of God. You say, well, these are what God says, this is what God says. Yeah, I get it. But when you encounter Christ, when you are out in the culture, for lack of another word, and you're actually doing the work of God, and you're continually having encounters with God, you start to understand his nature. I have a prison that I go to, and there's guard shortages. And the guard shortage means that the first thing that's closed is chapel. But yet, it's an hour and a half away. And I can call that prison, and nobody will answer the phone to tell me if there's service or not. But God has clearly told me and revealed to me his nature, that when I'm called to go to that prison, I just go. So when I start going, I realize the nature of God is telling me, just go. Don't think about it, don't worry about it, just go. And I went there, And the guards acted like it was normal. They acted like everything was cool. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you know, I've been trying to call you for an hour and a half on the way up here to see if we got services, but yet the nature of God revealed to me, we're doing service. So the next time when I go up to that prison and I can't get somebody on the phone, I know the nature of God, and that's just to go. I don't get no one on the phone, but God has revealed to me that we're having service. I'm just going. It's the same in the financial market. When I have financial problems, when I'm under financial restraint, and I see that God has worked something out in my life, the next time it happens again, I know the nature of God. I don't have to think, well, God, are you going to make this work this time? I know you did it last time, but are you going to do it again? I don't worry about that. Because the nature of God is, you know what? Mike, you're in ministry. You're going from this place. You go to that place. My hand is in it. I'll provide. And he's just going to make a way. You see, you and I tend to think that the interventions of God are temporary. But what God is really doing to you and I is that he's revealing his nature to us. He's revealing to us who he really is. And he allows us the opportunity to be able to say, you know what, I'm giving you a choice. Are you going to believe my nature? Are you going to believe in the promises of God? Or are you going to believe in yourself and what you believe? And at many times God will say, you know what, you made the right choice. You just go and I'll take care of you. And that's what God wants from all of us. So, and I look at Reinhard Bonnke, a man of great faith. He knows the encounter with God that he's had and the continual encounters he has with God, and he knows the nature of God because of what he does. Transformed minds lead to transformed lives, leads to transformed cities, that leads to transformed nations. That is just the way it is. I'm never going to get the mind of Christ to be able to work and to know the very presence of God in my life and to build what I already know about the mind of Christ unless I'm talking to Jay, unless I'm talking to you, unless I'm talking to you, unless I'm meeting people where God has called me to go. I'm never going to know what this mind of Christ is like. It's like having a spiritual checkbook and never writing a check. But when I engage myself, wherever it is that God's called me to go, wherever my feet may go, I encounter Christ because I, by faith, have put my foot, best foot forward and say, you know what? I may not know what's going to happen in this service today, but I know that God is going to show up. I know he's going to do a miraculous work because I know that this is how God operates. Do I know what he's going to do? No. Sometimes I have no idea, but you know what I am? I am excited to go because I know he's going to do something because he just always does.
That's right.
And the only reason why I know that is because by faith I've set my foot forward. I have the mind of Christ. And the more I do what God has called me to do, the more I am out there into the public and to be able to pray for people, to touch their lives, the more I encounter Christ. The more I encounter what God is able to do in the heart of people. People ask me all the time, where do you get all these cool stories from? I get all the cool stories because I'm out there doing. I don't get those stories sitting on my couch or watching CNN or Fox News. I get it because I'm in the prisons. I'm at the rescue mission. I'm where God has placed me. And if I'm where God has placed me and I'm doing what God has called me to do, I'm going to have encounters. I'm going to see the nature of God revealed through other people in their lives and what they're doing and for the praise of his glory. And you know what the good news is? He wants to do that in all our lives. Not just me, but all of you as well. He wants you to grow in the mind of Christ so that when you go somewhere, when you do some things for him, he's able to use you. And you say, I know what it looks like, but I know God is faithful to do this. It's like when they went to West Virginia and they went to the school and they were able to see what was going on in the school. They knew something was happening and they were looking for something to happen and they were right, something was happening. But their faith told them, you know what? God is doing something here. We're going to see God manifested. We're going to have an encounter with God and what He has called us to do. And so I am excited about growing the mind of Christ within us. That when we face situations and we face what God is calling us to do, we just know, you know what? We can put a little check in our spirit and say, you know what? This is not the way it really is. It is in the flesh, but in the spiritual realm, God is doing so much more. You could look at a situation. Somebody could call you and say, well, this is happening in my life. That's happening in my life. I'm going through this struggle. I'm going through that struggle. And when you have the mind of God, you can look at their situation, look beyond what they're seeing, and say, you know what? There's a bigger battle that's being waged in heaven for the soul of someone in your family or someone that you know. There's a bigger war being waged that you can't see, but I can see it because I have the mind of Christ, and because I walk in the walk of God, because I'm doing the things of God. I've seen this a million times. And you start to understand those things and start to be able to do this. Jesus said this. He said, truly, truly, I tell you, the Son of Man can do nothing by himself unless he sees what the Father is doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does. It was complete obedience by Jesus Christ to the Father and what he was able to do while he walked on this earth. He was in complete obedience. When you and I come to the point in our lives where we say, Lord, I don't want to do my own thing, but take my heart, take my soul, take my mind, take everything that's me. I surrender to you. I give it to you. And you do with what you want. You start to see the mind of Christ being manifested. He also said this, I can do nothing of myself. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. In John 5:30. This is Jesus saying, I'm surrendering my life as the second person of the Trinity, and I'm allowing the Father to accomplish whatever his will is and whatever he sent me. And that's what Jesus is looking for in us. You see, when we surrender to him and we allow him to use us, it's the same thing as what Jesus said here in John 5 and in John 5:19-30. It's no longer my will. I come here to do the service today. I'm not preaching what I want to preach. I'm just preaching and praying and saying, Lord, what would you have me to share? And that's what I'm sharing. Because I can't do anything of myself. I have no strength. I have nothing within myself. But if I let the Lord do it, if I say, Lord, it's all you. You tell me exactly what you want to have happen here. Then you start to have encounters with Christ. Things start to move in the heavenlies because I've surrendered myself to anything that's me, but I've allowed the Lord to be able to work mightily and bountifully. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit of God is an equal part of the Godhead, now lives within us. As we yield to the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, He is able for precept to precept, upon line, here, there, a little, build us in the mind of Christ. But lastly, how do we activate that faith? If you turn to Philippians chapter 2, this is how we activate the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. One of the things that I enjoy about having the mind of Christ and being able to do what Christ has told me to do is that I'm connected to the triune God. I'm connected to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When I'm doing what I do, we're all connected. If you read John chapter 17, if you read John 15, they both talk about it, that we're all innerly connected. But this is the secret to obtain the mind of Christ. Philippians 2, starting verse 5, let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things of earth and things under the earth. This is how you obtain the mind of Christ. He says, the Apostle Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So he's saying, this is the mind that Jesus Christ had when he walked this earth, did the miracles, did all the wonderful things that he did here, plus a whole lot that we couldn't put in the Bible because there wasn't enough room. But it says this, he made himself of no reputation. How many of you are willing to say that I don't need to have a reputation? I just want to do what God wants. But it's in those people that God has called to be able to do the greatest works of the people of no reputation. Then it says, and he took upon him the form of a servant. Are you willing to wash someone else's feet? Are you willing to be a servant to someone and help someone else that's in need? Are you willing just to come along and just pray for someone that's in need of prayer? That's putting on the mind of Christ and building on the mind of Christ. Being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself. Are we humble? Because pride will resist that. Pride will resist all the working of the mind of Christ and the growing of the mind of Christ, because it's no longer Christ and pride, it's us. Are we willing to be humble and say, God, take out of me? Are we willing to pray and fast and say, Lord, take out of me this pride that no longer grabs me, no longer takes me, but let me be humbled, Lord God, to be able to be used by you for the praise of your glory? Am I willing to go anywhere in this world that you want me to go because you want to send me to be able to touch someone else's life with my life? Am I willing to do that, or am I putting restrictions on you and say, Lord, oh no, I'm not going there? And became obedient unto death. Are we willing to be obedient to the Lord unto death, and to say, you know what? Your word says it. You tell me what you want. You promise me your promises. I believe them. I trust them. By faith, I'm walking in them. And I'm going to see the mind of Christ being manifested in them, because I see what it's like when I'm obedient unto death. We could follow the examples of Christ, and you could read all those attributes, and you could know that that was what was in Christ. That's what's going to be in us as well. And lastly this. Two things. When you have the mind of Christ, you think differently. You don't think like the world thinks. You accept challenges as opportunity to glorify God. Where I work at a law firm. And at this law firm, I met a group of people that all kind of do the same thing. And special projects come in, and nobody wants to do them. I'm not doing that, that's too hard. I'm not doing that, that's too hard. I say, you know what? I've got the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit lives within me. Could this be too hard for God that raised somebody from the dead? And I take on the project. And every time I've taken on a special project, I said, oh Lord, you and I are in it. Let's do it. And it works. And then after like 3 or 4 times, the company, you know what the company does now? They don't bother asking everybody because they're tired of saying no. But they're going to the one that has the mind of Christ, because I look at things differently. My attitude is different, because I know what? I don't have the answer no more than anybody else does, but I have the mind of Christ. I got a Heavenly Father. I got the Holy Spirit living within me. What more do I need to get the answers?
Sorry.
And it just always, always, always works. And it builds my faith, and it tells me who Christ is. And it tells me that I can do all things. Lastly, chastisement. We look at chastening of the Lord in a negative way, because we think the Lord's just going to be beaten on me for something, and we look at it like, oh Lord, just don't. But let me, God explained it to me this way. And I look at it in a different way now. Let me share this with you. Say God wants to give you a brand new car. Brand new car out of the showroom. You choose whatever car it is you want. Whatever your car, kind of car you guys like. SUV, truck, real cool one like Jay's, whatever. But your garage is a mess. You got nails all over the place. You got wood all over the place. You got junk all over the place. God can't allow you to have that new car because your garage is all messed up. You can't put a brand new car and leave it out in the driveway. You got to put it in the garage. Especially around where we live. So God, in his chastisement, is a way of saying to you, I'd like to give you a new car. I'd like you to take you another level of intimacy with me, but I just can't until you clean the garage. So chastisement a lot of times is just cleaning up things within us that he wants to rid us of so that he can make more room for the Holy Spirit to move in to be able to use us more in a greater way. That's exactly what it is. Because God wants to use us. He loves us. He cares for us. He wants to see us grow in intimacy with Christ. He wants to see us to grow in our walk with him. And the only way he can do that is if he rids us of the flesh that we got. So God's just simply saying, clean your garage up. When that garage is clean, then I got something for you.
Amen.
It's not going to be a new car. I'm just using it as an analogy. I'm not into that. If he does, hallelujah. Well, I'm just saying. Every level of intimacy that I've grown in Christ has always had this level of just personal pain where he's asking me to get rid of something I want to hang on to that's still good for me even though I think it's good, and then when I get rid of it, I'm all excited I got rid of it because I got something that was much better. Lastly, I know I said lastly twice, but
that's okay.
I go one more time before I'm lying. Matthew 21 and 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and it shall cast into the sea. It shall be done. Many times, people have been hurt. They have blockages in their mind. They have a mountain that's in their mind. A bad experience, something that happened, something that just has them stuck. And one of the things that God impressed upon me coming here is that there may be someone in this room today. You want the mind of Christ to grow in you. You want all the things that we talked about today, but you realize there's just something in your mind right now that's blocking that and preventing that from coming to fruition. And today, as I pray for you, if you want to come up, I've got oil, I'll pray for you. That God would release that blockage. If you want to know more and have more of the mind of Christ, and you want God to rid you of whatever it is that's preventing you from having more of the mind of Christ, then I'll pray for you for that. But the Bible clearly states in our verses that we read today that God wants to give us the mind of Christ, not only that at the birth, new birth, but also in our walk to grow that new mind and to make it more powerful and strengthen it and to gird it and to make it effective for the community that we live in for his glory. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for this time that we can come together. We thank you, Lord God, we have the mind of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you are miraculous. We thank you, Lord God, that you have done all these wonderful things, including giving us the mind of Christ. And Father, I pray right now that you would help us to articulate and to know exactly what it is in our mind that we know what we need to do spiritually in order to activate it, to grow it, and to make it strong so that wherever we go in this community, wherever we go in this world, that we not only have the mind of Christ, but that we know what the very mind of Christ is saying to us, that we can hear what he is saying, and that we could look at situations and not always have to look at them like they're negative, but look at them from the spiritual standpoint, look at them from the heavenly standpoint, and look at them according to your promises, and know that they are yea and amen. And Lord God, I pray today as I anoint people with oil, and as I anoint people to be able to receive more of you in the more of your mind, I pray if there's anything, Lord God, within any of these dear beloved saints, Lord God, as I pray for them, Lord, release it. Release whatever blockage is there. Release whatever is there, Lord God, that may prevent them from having more of the mind of Christ. And Lord God, I'm leaving the results up to you. I'm just doing what you called me to do. And I'm thankful, very thankful for everyone that's come out today. In your precious name, amen. In your precious name, amen. In your precious name, amen.